God's word today here in Ballygowan, and we trust that the Lord will indeed bless his word in song and in word. There's a lovely old gospel hymn. The scripture says in 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And here's the hymn, the testimony of a dear soul who has come to know Christ. And they can say, from coming to know him, life is different now. Once I was lost in sin, I had no peace within. To save my weary soul, I knew not how. But Jesus came to me, and by his blood I'm free. Now it's different, it's so. My soul, it's different now, since by his blood I'm whole. All Satan had to flee when Jesus rescued me. Now it's different, it's so. I went to church one day just to hear them sing and pray. But the preacher firmly plied the gospel plied. Now he said, you must repent. So to the Lord I went. Now it's different, it's so. I praise God day and night. How he could change me so, I know not how. But praise the Lord, it's done, and the victory now is won. Now it's different, it's so. Since Jesus saved my soul, it's different now, since by his blood I'm whole. Old Satan had to flee when Jesus rescued me. Now it's different, it's so. Good to sing the old hymns and the old choruses that tell about the blood of the Lord Jesus, his dying love upon the cross, and the fact that God is sovereign, that he rules heaven and earth, and that he has not vacated his throne. This is a lovely old gospel hymn. You know the chorus. The chorus says, God is still on the throne. So join in and sing the chorus. Have you started for glory and heaven? And have you left this old world far behind? In your heart is the comfort of dwelling, and can you say, praise the Lord, he is mine? Have the ones that once walked on the highway, they've gone back and and you feel all alone. Keep your eyes on the prize, for the hole in the skies, God is still on the throne. God is still on the throne, and He will remember His own. Though trials may press us, burdens distress us, He never will leave us alone. God is still on the throne, and He will remember His own. His promise is true, He will not forget. Again, this is promise to disciples when He went away. In like manner as He has gone from you, well, you'll see Him returning someday. Does this tarrying cause you to wonder? And does it seem He's forgotten His own? Well, His promise is true. He is coming for you. Is true, it is sure, it is yea and amen in Christ, and He died on the cross that we might live, that we might be saved for time and for all of God's eternity. We have our scripture reading just now, and we're going to be reading tonight from the epistle of Paul to the Romans in Romans chapter 5. The book of Romans and chapter 5, commencing to read at verse 1. Word of God says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement." We'll end our reading there at verse 11. May God bless to us the public reading of his holy, inspired, and his infallible word. Going to join together in singing of another lovely hymn. It's the hymn number 204 in our hymn book. Let us sing of his love once again, of the love that will never decay, of the blood of the Lamb who was slain, till we praise him again in that day. 204, let us sing of his love once again. lovely old gospel hymn just before we turn to God's word. And ask a question, not do you know a pastor or a preacher, a reverend or a bishop or an archbishop or a church, but do you know the Lord Jesus Christ, the only Savior? Have you a heart that's weary, tending your load of care? Are you a soul who's seeking rest from the burden? Let's just bow in a wee word of prayer as we turn now to God's precious word. Our Father and our God, we thank thee again tonight for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee, Lord, the hymn writer could say, there's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. None else could heal all our souls' diseases. No, not one. No, not one. We thank thee for the one who said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And our prayer tonight is that men and women who hear the word of God and the gospel, they may seek the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior, the one who is the only mediator between God and men, may come to him in simple childlike faith and in repentance toward God and be saved for time and for all of God's eternity. Be with us now, Lord, as we look into thy precious word, for we ask all these things in our Savior's name. Amen. We're turning again to the fifth chapter of this great epistle of Paul to the Romans. It is a great doctrinal thesis on the great doctrine of justification by faith. Many, many years ago, Job asked the question, how can a man be just or be justified before God? He said that when Martin Luther, the great reformer, Martin Luther in his darkness and in his lost estate, read the epistle to the Romans, through the verses of Scripture in this great epistle, He came to realize that he would be saved not by works, not by good deeds, not by ordinances of the church, but by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. As the scripture says here, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. And Martin Luther, on his life's journey, searching for, longing for, hoping for peace with God, found it as he came to know the reality of justification by faith in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It was said of the great John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, that through reading the comments of Luther on this wonderful epistle, Wesley said that there at Aldergate, my heart was strangely warmed, and I came to know justification by faith and found peace with God. And in this chapter 5, as we find in all the chapters in this great epistle to the Romans, the doctrine of God's salvation, so rich, so full, and thank God so free, is clearly set forth even in simple language that we might understand and grasp and believe and put our trust in and be saved. Someone has said that salvation, it has been observed among the many thousands of words that the three are most difficult to say, I was wrong. But one of the most dynamic words in our language is the word salvation. For the word salvation means to effect successfully the full delivery of someone or something from impending danger. And so men and women, born in sin, shapen in iniquity, on that broad road that leads to a lost, Christless eternity, that place called hell, thank God they are saved, they are delivered, they are rescued successfully from the impending eternal danger of a lost, Christless eternity. And the only way that salvation is effected is through the death of our Savior, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God, taking our sins in his own body on the tree at the old rugged cross of Calvary. And on the third day, the Bible says, rising again, he was raised for our justification so that we might be saved. And there are three very simple truths that are set forth, and I want to leave them with you in our gospel service. And I want you to notice, first of all, what we might describe in these verses as the enormity of our sin. The enormity of our sins. Sin is a terrible problem that blights humanity. Men and women talk about many things and many wrongs, but they're all as a result of sin. We used to sing a little chorus in the children's meetings. S-I-N is a very little word, but it always spells disaster. And you must leave it very much alone, or it will become your master. And the problem with men and women in this world today is the age-old problem, the problem of sin. Now the Bible reminds us in the prophecy of Isaiah in chapter 64 that all our righteousnesses, that is all our good deeds, all our good works, all our religious efforts, all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. We have mentioned God's servant Job. Job says, who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? And the Bible reminds us here, even in this chapter 5 of the book of Romans, in verse 19, for as by one man, that is Adam's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. So sin is a huge question and a huge problem for mankind. And I want you to notice the words that are used in this passage of Scripture that describe sin. The Bible says there in verse 6, for when we were yet without strength. When we were yet without strength. Modern man may boast of his strength and his power and his prowess. But God says you're a sinner. God says you are a weakling. God says you are without strength. You have no power. You have no might. You have nothing wherewith you can gain eternal life and salvation and heaven and home other than through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not within the heart of man, the power of man, the ability of man, the intellect of man to save himself. And the Bible reminds us here that while we were without strength. And then you notice also in that verse 6, for when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. That's the way God looks upon men and women in this world. They may have a reputation in this world. They may have riches in this world. They may have possessions. They may have power. They may have authority. But God says if they don't know Him, if they're not in a relationship with Him, if they have never come via the old rugged cross of Calvary, through our Savior's dying love, they are ungodly. They are without strength and without Christ and without God and without hope in this world. So we see in these words the enormity of our sins. We were born in sin. We were shapen in iniquity. Verse 8 reminds us, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners. We read verse 19, as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. We are sinners. We are sinners by birth. We are sinners by practice. And the Bible goes on to remind us there that not only are we without strength, not only are we described as being ungodly, not only are we described as being sinners, but look again at verse 9. The Bible says, much more then, being now justified by his blood, ye shall be saved from wrath through him. Men and women who are saved from the wrath of God. To quote Job again, Job says, because there is wrath, beware, lest he take thee away with his stroke. For then a great ransom cannot deliver thee. The Bible reminds us in that wonderful chapter in John chapter 3 that tells us about God's love for sinful men, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. But we're reminded that there are those who believe and they will not perish, but those who do not believe will perish. They're under wrath. He that hath the Son, the Scripture says, hath life. He that hath not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth upon him. Preachers often talk about that great sermon preached in the New World by Jonathan Edwards, sinners in the hands of an angry God. We're reminded here in verse 10, for if when we were enemies. It's not a nice thing to have enemies. It's not nice to have the enmity of men and women, the scorn, the hatred poured out against you. But what an awful thing to realize that being a sinner without strength, ungodly, under wrath, we are enemies of God. We're not in friendship or in fellowship with our Creator. We are enemies. And verse 12 says, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And the scripture goes on to tell us there in verse 14, nevertheless, death reigned. Death reigned. Verse 21 says that sin hath reigned unto death. And so we realize tonight, beloved, the enormity of our sins. That sin reigns over the heart and the life, the mind, the thought, the actions of men and women who are still without God and without Christ. Oh, the enormity of our sin. It's only a sick person who needs the physician. It's only a person who is accused who needs a lawyer. It is the drowning man who needs the lifeguard. And that's why men and women without Christ, lost, undone, they need a lawyer, an advocate with the Father, even Jesus Christ, the righteous. They need the one who is the great physician, who can cure every sin and every ill. They need the one who can rescue them with a stretched out arm and a mighty hand as he lifted Peter out of the water. So the Bible reminds us here of the enormity of our sin. But then I want you to notice something wonderful here. When we see this dark picture of our sin and its consequences, the sin that means we are dead in trespasses and in sins, that it will lead to death because the wages of sin is death, but not just physical death, but spiritual death, separated from God from all eternity. The Bible speaks not only about the enormity of our sin, but it speaks about the empathy of our Savior. Oh, what a Savior we have in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. For the Bible says, when we were yet without strength, in verse 6, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Verse 8 says, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. When there was nothing lovable or lovely about us, when we were in our sins, Christ died for sinners. Christ died for the ungodly. We were enemies, but the Bible says that the Lord Jesus Christ has broken down the middle wall of partition. The Bible says he has blotted out the handwriting of the ordinances that were against us. The Bible says that he has made peace with God through the blood of his cross. That means that as far as sinners are concerned, when they come to Christ, thank God, the war is over. The enmity is gone. The arms of puny, foolish rebellion and rejection and disobedience are put down, and God's terms, as it were, of amnesty are completed. And they are saved because of the love of God in Christ. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that unconditional love that brought the Savior out of the ivory palaces and into the world of woe. Only his great eternal love could make my Savior go. The Apostle says in Ephesians 5 and 25, Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. He came, he suffered and bled and died upon the cross of Calvary. As the prophet of God said way back in the Old Testament, he would prolong his seed, he would die, he would bring many sons and daughters to glory. He would purchase a people for himself. And thank God Paul could say he loved the church and he gave himself for it. But he could also say in Galatians 2 and 20, the Son of God, he loved me and gave himself for me. Oh, Paul says, Timothy, this is a faithful saying. It's worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. My, this love that is unconditional, this love that is incomparable. There is no love like the love of Jesus, never to fade or fall, till into the arms and the peace of God he has gathered us all. He has made peace through the blood of his cross. When we read there in verse 9 of chapter 5, much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Oh, through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we have received the atonement. And oh, we rejoice tonight in the empathy of the Savior, that the Savior loved us. God said, ask of me, I'll give you the very heathen for thine inheritance. Jesus said, I will go. He is the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. He set his face as a flint to go to Jerusalem, to go to the cross, to suffer and bleed and die, that we poor, guilty, lost, hell-deserving sinners might be saved for time and for all eternity. And thank God when we are saved through the love of God in Christ, the one who took our sins and his own body to the tree. Thank God we are inseparable. He has saved us. We are reconciled. We are saved, the Bible says there, by his life. We are in union with Christ. He is able, Paul says to the Hebrews 7:20, he is able to save to the uttermost all them that come unto God by him. Through this experience of God's salvation, we are vitally, and thank God, eternally linked and in union with our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So the Bible speaks here about the enormity of our sins. It reminds us of the empathy of our Savior, the great transaction that took place at Calvary. He took my place. He died for me. Upon a life I could not live, upon a death I could not die, upon another's life and another death I stake my all for God's eternity. But let me just finish by saying the Bible speaks here about the experience of our salvation. Thank God we can be saved. We can know that we are saved. We can know, thank God, as Paul says in verse 1, therefore, being justified by faith. There's an old Bible commentator, and he used to say we should always ask the question, when you see that word, therefore, you should ask the question, wherefore is the word therefore there for? And when you look back to the end of the fourth chapter, we read there, who was delivered for our offenses, the Lord Jesus. He was raised again for our justification. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. We can stand before God, clothed in the impeccable righteousness of the Savior. The filthy rags are taken away, and the new garments of salvation are placed upon us. We stand before God justified, just as if we had never sinned. But you notice also there, the Bible reminds us in verse 11 that we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. My, there's joy in salvation. The Bible talks about drinking water from the wells of salvation. The Bible talks about a joy unspeakable and full of glory. The men and women in this world think that there's only joy in the world. They think there is only pleasure in the world. And there is pleasure in this world. But the pleasures of this world only last for a season. But the Bible says at God's right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. And there is joy, there is fullness of joy. Jesus said, I am come to give you life. And not only come to give you life, I'm come to give you life, and that more abundantly. There is joy in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's joy in serving the Savior. Just like the prodigal, when he came home, and he took the sinner's place, and he confessed his sin to his father, and he cried out, I'm not worthy to be called your son. Make me a servant. But my, the father ran and put his arms around him and kissed him and put a ring on his finger and shoes on his feet. Killed the fatted calf, and they made merry and they rejoiced that this son who was lost now was found. This son who was dead, thank God, was alive again. And of course, the Bible also reminds us here, we are justified, we are saved, we have the joy of God's salvation. Look at verse 2, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Oh, there's a better day coming for the people of God. Thank God, heaven is real. There is a place, the home of God's redeemed. Every man or woman, young person, boy or girl, who knows Christ as their Savior. Thank God when this fleeting life is over, they will be in the presence of God for all eternity. As I said, it's not in a church. It's not in a creed. It's not in a preacher. It's in Christ. Jesus says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Let me ask you that question tonight as we bring our meeting to a close. Have you realized that you're lost? That you're a sinner without Christ? That only Jesus and Jesus only can do helpless sinners good? And the invitation's extended yet again because he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You can come just now, right where you are, and you can pray the sinner's prayer. Say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I confess my need. Cleanse me in your precious blood. Make me a child of God. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today and take all my sin away. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. And thank God if you pray that prayer, a similar prayer, you take a sinner's place, call upon the sinner's Savior. My, he has promised. And he cannot lie. He says, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. We're your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any assistance to you to help you to Christ, then do get in touch with us, please. Just going to bow in a wee word of prayer and bring our service to a close. Father in heaven, we thank thee again tonight for the gospel message. We thank thee, Lord, that it is truly the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And our Father, we pray that someone hearing the message may believe on him whom thou hast sent, may receive the Lord Jesus Christ, for thou hast said, as many as received him, to them give he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Bless your word. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and remain and abide with us now until the Saviour comes or calls. Amen.